The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 533. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight, I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
All right, guys, you already know. Back with another one to answer your questions. Brian may or may not show up, so we'll see. But let's get into it, man. Let's start off with Jolly Yellow Nerd. With Nintendo implementing virtual game cards, could they release a digital-only Switch model later in the Switch 2's life? Or maybe the Switch 3 will be all digital. What do you guys think?
I don't think... I mean, Nintendo is really, you know, old-school, old-fashioned in that way. I don't think they would move away from the cartridge, especially since they give them a lot of control.
Yeah.
The way they're implementing those right now. So I don't know. I don't think so. At least not for the next one.
Was the Switch Lite digital? It wasn't, right? Mm-hmm. So why would he think the Switch 2 Lite would be digital? I'm trying to understand where this is coming from.
I mean, I think he's just seeing the fact that they have like
the game cards.
Yeah, the digital game cards is that some to essentially get people.
Yeah. All right. Chris, our resident Nintendo expert, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to get rid of the idea of owning media and owning your game. Like, this is a control move. Like, just giving you a license, a card, is nothing, right? What's the difference between having a digital license eShop and having a card with an unlock key, right, to go download it? This is as Carlos would call, a toe dip, right? The next step is they get rid of the cards altogether, right? Why need it? Why have the overhead when they can now then charge you like $6.99 for the next system and it doesn't have any physical card readers in it? And go figure how they rationalize that one.
Yeah. So
yeah, the only
go ahead.
The only thing I would say, especially for Nintendo, most out of anybody, I wonder, and this depends on the brick and mortar stores, whether they'll hold these games or not. Because Nintendo, like you guys have talked about, since the dawn of this podcast, they're a toy company essentially.
Yeah.
So having, you know, those physical things to be in the stores that show Mario and Zelda and all the Nintendo IPs, I feel like is something important for them. But you know, the industry is moving in a different direction, but we'll see.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Jolly Little Nerd, who's actually joining us in the chat. He goes, I'm basically asking if the virtual cards is Nintendo trying to get away from physical media altogether.
It's like Chris mentioned, it's about control.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever gives them the most control, that's what they'll do. That's a fact, you know, because this is Nintendo we're talking about. And we actually got a couple. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, no, one last thing I'll mention is
they
hate the idea of losing out on risk income. And what I mean is if like Jolly Yellow Nerd, you bought a Switch 2 game, right? And it was all on the card. And then later on, you're like, you know, I'm tired of this, or I need some money. So you sell it. You eBay it, or you go, you know, to GameStop, or you go wherever, or Mercury, or whatever. They feel, and I've heard this internally, like years ago, they feel that they are owed residual income from you selling that game to someone else, even though you own it, right? This gets rid of that. They'll have 100% profit on each title every time, because you can't sell a digital asset. You can't sell this virtual game cards useless outside of you unlocking it.
Yeah.
Isn't it ironic? Like, let's say someone sells their entire Switch library, right? And let's say it's $2,000 worth of video games. They're liable to pay taxes off of that. But somehow Nintendo wants a cut from that, which I don't know. I feel like that's all ironic in a sense.
Yeah, no, Nintendo wants their cut, man. That's all it is. They want their cut and they want control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, man. Moving on. We got a few more other Switch questions, but I'm kind of reading these in order tonight. Illustrated Dio. What version of GTA 6 are you getting? I plan to get... Now, this is interesting. I'm just going to read this as is. I plan to get the full version. If there's a statue, I'll get the second to last full edition. What does full edition mean? I don't understand. I've never heard of anything called full edition before.
Full edition?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't edit that on purpose. Maybe he knows something. I don't. But I don't know what full edition means. Deluxe edition, maybe?
Have the bundles and things have been revealed out of that?
No, but what? And then what is the second to last full edition? I'm confused by this question.
I think if I'm reading this correctly, I think he's saying, like, let's say there's like five different copies of the game. There's like the regular edition, there's a deluxe edition, there's a super deluxe edition, and then there's a mega deluxe edition that comes with a statue. He's saying he won't get the mega deluxe edition with a statue. He'll get the one right beneath it.
Okay, so, all right, fair enough. All right, so now that we got that understanding, what do you plan to get? Carlos, since you were talking, what do you plan to get?
A regular edition. That'll be $100 anyway, so.
There you go. What about you, Chris?
Oh, I'm only buying a regular edition. Whatever gets me to play the story and online, that edition. I don't need anything. And frankly, I don't care. What could they offer you in a deluxe or premium set?
A gun.
I don't. Nobody. Yeah. They're digital assets. Again, it's like, yeah. Oh, unlock this weapon. Unlock these clothes. Unlock this car.
Shark cards.
Yeah, give you shark cards.
Oh, no. They're not going to give away shark cards. No, no way.
Yeah, they're not doing that. Manny, I know you're not buying the game.
I will be getting the Zero Edition.
There you go.
This is the most inexpensive version of the game, which is not buying it at all.
Yeah. Get the trash out of here.
Yeah.
As for myself, I may be answering this for Rich as well, but Rich, you can answer for yourself. I'll be getting the Review Copy Edition. Just be honest.
Well, I will be getting the No Chance in Hell Edition. So, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. All right, so pretty much everybody's getting the standard. I wonder what Adam got. I want the Butter Edition.
Butter Edition, the one with all the figures.
Oh, man. All right, next up, another one from Mr. Dio. This one's interesting. Who is the Xbox Portable for? And he gives us four choices. The Nintendo-only gamer, the PSPC Steam Deck gamer, the multi-console gamer, or the Xbox-only gamer. I want to say a little bit of every column, you know?
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think it's any one answer.
No, it's not. It's not. It's pretty much everybody, you know? It's for, they want gamers, you know?
Yeah, they want to attract as Xbox. Looking for handhelds right now are pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Looking at who they can catch with.
Yeah, and I remember, just to clarify, this is the ROG Ally 2. It's not an Xbox console. There will be an edition that has Xbox branding on it and a better processor and hopefully a better UI. But it is still, on paper, officially the ROG Ally 2. It's not the Xbox handheld. That's coming in 2027 from Microsoft, you know? So I also think, another one, Fant of the ROG Ally. That's another target audience. But yeah,
they're trying to capture as much of the market as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's worth over $1,000 and they got no market. So yeah, like you guys said, it's pretty much every one of all the columns. I mean, the Xbox column for the most part is going to take, once they get that, because super fans do what they do. But Microsoft definitely doesn't just want the super fans because they're not enough.
Yeah, obviously not enough. Oh, man. Go ahead, Rich. What do you say?
Oh, quick comment to make. Yeah, I agree on what you guys said. Probably want to target everybody. But I want to make one correction, Tony. I misread your previous question. You were talking about Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah, 6, yeah.
Yes, the review edition. But when you said when you were talking, because you guys were talking about Switch, my comment was directed towards the Switch. I will be getting the No Chance in Hell edition of that.
Yeah,
they're not going to get
that. Yeah, no, we're talking about the general edition. And that's why I was like, I'm going to kind of answer for you and say, we're going to get the review code edition.
Yeah, there you go. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, no one's getting the Switch 2 version because it's not going to ever happen.
No.
All right. Another one. Black Mage. This one's kind of interesting. The team from Expedition 33 has released a patch that nerfs a build that does billions of HP damage. Needless to say, some gamers are up in arms. How does the panel feel about nerfing single player only games? My thing is, like, if the developer thinks it significantly alters the experience, then they have every right to do so, you know?
Also, that sounds like a bug, right?
That sounds like a hardcore bug, yeah.
Yeah, they're fixing the bug. It's not really nerfing a character. That sounds like a huge, huge bug.
Right? Yeah, I don't think they intended for that to happen, you know?
In fact, I think Maximilian Dude hit that one stream where essentially he had a weapon like that that literally just would one-shot any of the big bosses in the game.
No. That's not a nerf. That's just a bug fix, bro.
Yeah, he immediately put on a weaker bunch of weaponry to try to, you know, at least get a little more challenge out of them. You know, I mean, granted,
there are some streamers out there that actually do like that kind of difficulty, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, you know, especially codes, quote unquote, to be put on there.
Shout out to Hip Hop Gamer, bro. We're not talking shit, man, but just saying.
Yeah, I did see the... Yeah, it is more like a bug, but I did see a clip of it. Yeah, that's cheese as hell. This game is, for the most part, it's not that, like, no one can do that except for that certain character with that certain build. So, you know, in general, we've seen this in a lot of games. We saw this in Elden Ring when we were playing it. You know, if they feel like there's something wrong with the game or something that needs to be fixed, then by all means. But, you know, the criticism, if you completely mess it up the other way, is also valid.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Rich? Oh, I guess he has no thoughts. All right, fair enough. There he is.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it was an issue with the computer. Repeat the question. You're talking about the single player?
Yeah, no, basically, there was like a build in Expedition 33 that like dealt billions of damage. Developers fix that, and some gamers are upset. And the question is, you know, is it okay for developers to nerf single player games? And Chris rightly pointed out, it's like, that's not, they're not nerfing anything. They're fixing a bug, a very obvious bug.
Oh, yeah. Well, I will say this, that game is meant to be a little bit challenging. I believe that Carlos mentioned, as we were talking about with playing the game, some of the bosses are pretty difficult. So, it does sound to me like it's a bug that they needed to fix, just so that it's a fair challenge for everybody. You don't want some people getting the upper hand, taking down a boss easier than others. So I don't think it's a problem, especially if it addressed the issue that.
Yeah. And again, if that's the case, like, people are going to tell others how to do that exploit, and then it's going to just ruin the fun for everybody, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's fine. You know, I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it's a nerf. I think it's just a bug fix. All right, another one here, Mr. Kishak. All right, do you find it weird that people still doubt that the GTA 6 trailer ran on a PS5? Rockstar is the same company that somehow got GTA 5, a PS3, Xbox 360 game, to run on a console with only half a gig of RAM. Imagine what a company with this much technical prowess can do with 16 gigs of RAM. Yeah, no, I fully believe that's running on a PS5. Granted, you know, it may be a little doctored or whatever, but I do think it's going to be another technical showcase for sure. But it is a good question. Like, why are people still doubting Rockstar? Have you played any of their games, especially after they switched over to the Rage Engine? Have you played Red Dead Redemption 2? Like, these guys make magic happen.
Red Dead 2 still looks incredible.
Yeah.
Like, I see videos of that online all the time, and it's like,
excuse me?
I can't believe that came out like, what, 7 years ago?
Yeah, 2018. Yeah, 7 years ago.
Yeah, I don't doubt that GTA 5 is going to look great. I don't know how great it's going to look, because some of those scenes, you know, were just in-game.
Yeah.
They weren't necessarily gameplay, so we'll see what the variance is between that. But I feel like it'll still be a great-looking game.
Yeah, and again, they're running it on a new version of the Rage Engine now, so, bro, it's going to be crazy. Carlos, they're going to have you screaming something very familiar, you know, when you start playing it. Let's see if you pull it up.
Yo, is that gameplay? Is that gameplay? By the way, fun fact, do you know who the person screaming like next to me is?
Oh, who was that?
Yo, is that gameplay? Is that gameplay?
Was that Adam?
That's Larray.
Oh, Larray?
No, if I remember correctly, I think that's Reggie.
It might be Reggie. It might be. It could be Reggie.
All right.
We'll have to watch that episode again. It might be Reggie.
Yeah, go watch that
episode. Well, that's funny.
Investigation. it's gonna be a good looking game.
Listen.
It's gonna be great. That's the one thing that I don't doubt is how it's gonna look.
Oh, you know it's gonna be butter. The cold Adam. Oh it's man, the butter game. All right. What about the rest of you guys? Why do people keep doubting Rockstar?
They'd never guilty screen 20 of their titles.
This is true. You know? Like, even when the GT games weren't that good looking, what they showed you in release, you know, in promotional stuff was what you got in the game, you know? But I'm also waiting for the follow-up. In Grand Theft Auto 6, the team worked painstakingly to create a fictionalized world of Vice City. Be hilarious. All right, man. Another one here. Actually, you got a couple questions from Mr. Alpha Chuck. They're both about Doom the Dark Ages, which we could actually talk about now. For Tony and Rich, what are your thoughts on Doom the Dark Ages? It's fantastic. we'll go into it more now, obviously. But Rich, I'll let you go first, man. What do you think of the game?
So Doom the Dark Ages. I think what Tony said, fantastic, but I'm going to add a little bit more to it. It is fucking phenomenal.
There you go.
Yes, it's phenomenal. Like I said, you know, the whole tagline, the stand and fight, you will be doing a lot of that in this game, but you still have to move around because if you go up against some of these creatures that are bigger than you, yeah, you're going to definitely take some damage. But overall, no, it's, listen, I mean, I didn't review the game. Adam reviewed it, but we had the similar thoughts. It's without a doubt a game of the year contender. I felt that when I was about halfway through the game, because again, the story feels like it's a lot more epic in scope and scale. There's a particular scene. Well, I'll say this. I think it's around chapter 6 or 7 or so.
Yeah.
When you start to see that there is this war that is happening and the way that they have certain cinematic sequences and all this other stuff, it really feels like you can feel the weight of the war. It kind of reminds me like, hey, if they ever made a Halo game, but it's not about, you have the Doom Slayer instead of Master Chief going up against all these hellish creatures. This is why I had made the comment before. Well, I made this comment. It was off. It wasn't recording at the time. I said, ID Software did a phenomenal job. It's unfortunate that they are not able to work on Halo because Microsoft has their own studio working on Halo. But I would have hoped when Microsoft acquired Bethesda, as well as this company, they would at least get knowledge from them, have them look over what they're doing, and then in turn make a better Halo game. But of course, Microsoft is very lazy, so they will probably not do any of that. But no, this game is fantastic. 22 levels. The shield is phenomenal. And of course the one last thing I will mention is, I do like the fact that they have the mech as well as the dragon, because those are the two things that when I saw that in the trailer, I was excited, but I wanted to see how they would implement it into the game. They do an outstanding job with how they implement mechanics. So, overall, yeah, it's a fantastic game. Like I said, game of the year contender. This will be in that conversation. And if the Game Awards decides to have a category for best shooter, I think this is going to win that without question. Now, I don't know what other shooters were coming out this year. This has to be the front runner for that award, say, if it's not going to be game of the year. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, I agree with that assessment. Like, this game is great. If you liked Doom 2016 and Doom Eternal, this one, it's like easy pickings, bro. Like, it is great. Like, I was thinking about this while I was, writing the review. I'm like, yo, this series, you know, these three games has been very consistent. Like, there hasn't been a drop off. Like, you know, we've seen this many times where, you know, a game comes out and it's like, wait, what's up? What's going on now? It's kind of weird. Dragon Age, for example. They didn't fuck around with this game. They gave you exactly what you wanted. And it's also very different because I know a lot of people, Adam among them, complain about all the platforming in the second game, Doom Eternal. None of that here. There's some kind of platforming here and there, but you don't have double jump or the double dash anymore. You don't have any of that. No double jumping, no dashing. You're just a big, heavy fucking tank. You know, you got a shield. You fuck monsters up. Really good stuff. A little bit more emphasis on the story, but not too much. You know, they want you to get in there and fuck shit up. And one of the other things I thought about when I was playing the game, yo, bro, I'm on level 22. This is the last level, right? It is just as big as every level that I thought about. Like, wait, every single level in this game is huge. I'm like, that's where the money went. The money went to the actual gameplay. You know, obviously, you know, big production and all that, big AAA game, but you could tell a lot of the time went into making these levels as big and as like bountiful as possible, dude. They're great. And there's a, you know, I'm not going to spoil it here, but there's even other shit you get to see in this. You're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. You know, that's kind of cool. Yeah, but like Rich said, the shield is great. It's very satisfying, like deflecting like projectiles and attacks with the shield. Very easy. Although you can make it harder, you can make the parrying window higher or lower. This isn't Sekiro or anything like that. Sometimes the parrying window might be a little too generous. But I played it on like normal difficulty. I'm not going to go crazy. But there are 5 difficulty levels altogether. So if you really want to get fucked in the ass, you can have that happen to you. You know, game can get pretty challenging, but I enjoyed it, man. It, you know, and the graphics, obviously, they're really good. Id Tech is running on the latest version of that. Yeah, it's, again, if you like the last 2 games, you will absolutely not be disappointed. I can't answer whether I like this game more than the others, because the problem is Doom 2016 to me is like the Avengers, right? It's like, oh, that's the first time you're kind of getting that, and it's hard to replicate that, you know? Like, I'm like, oh shit, Doom is back, bro. You know, now it's like these are their own Doom games, but they still have enough like homages to the original Doom games in here. -3, because everybody's forgotten about that one. You know, but yeah, great game. Go check it out. It's if you like action games or first person games, you know, shooting games, you're gonna have an absolute blast with this one. Comes out on Manny's birthday, May 15th, so stay tuned, man. Go get it.
Celebrate my birthday the right way, playing.
Yes, there you go. And even though, Manny, I know you won't be getting Doom, I know you approve of the Doom games.
Yeah, I think it's you know, it definitely feels like a mm-hmm. worthy games. You know, I would say the proper evolution.
Yes.
of what a next gen as the evolution of the, if those guys could to make Doom games, they, I feel like that's the way it would.
Yeah. No. I agree.
Unlike Doom, which literally they like decided, yeah, let's take it a little.
Yeah, no, this is not Doom 3. This is definitely still, even though it's interesting. It's like it's different than the last Doom game, but it's a little bit more closer to the original game. The original game, it was just you and fucking guns and shit. No shield, obviously, but it was more stand your ground. But yeah, I agree with that. It's like this is what Doom games should be in the modern age, like still keeping that the feel and spirit of the original two, you know. And even though the guys working on these games aren't the original guys, they are the same team that worked on 2016. It's the same guys. You could tell the vision is there, you know, and that's a good thing. Definitely worth your money. Go check it out. All right, and then another Doom question. This one's for me specifically. Tony, have you tested this game on PC? Doom Eternal was regarded for its optimization. Does this title follow that trend? Yes, yes, and yes. although I have to make a caveat with the PC I tested on. It is a 5090 PC, which is beastly, you know? And I tested it on both a 5090 laptop and a desktop. Just keep that in mind. But just off the jump, without DLSS on, you get really, really good frame rates. Like, you know, on the laptop, close to 60. The desktop, obviously, way higher than 60. But if you turn on DLSS, it's just through the moon. You know, I, at one point I got this game to run at 344 frames a second. You don't need a game to be running that fucking fast, but it's cool that you can. But this will now be my new benchmark game, because for a while I've always used Doom Eternal as one of my personal benchmark games. Just so you guys know, so this is what I use. I use Doom Eternal and Cyberpunk as my benchmark games. Basically, one of the best optimized games and one of the worst optimized games, just to give you a feel for it. But now I'm going to be swapping it out, Doom Eternal, sunsetting it, if you will, for the Dark Ages. But yeah, if you get this shit on PC, you're not going to be disappointed. I haven't tested it on Steam Deck. I'll get back to you on Thursday about that. I'm going to try it on Steam Deck to see how this thing is, because there's a lot of ray tracing going on with this, and Steam Deck has a problem with ray tracing. I've noticed, and this ray tracing is just always on in this game. Even low level, it's always there. So that might be an issue, for Steam Deck, but, it's well optimized on everything else, man. So, you know, get it on PC. It's good. How is the soundtrack? It's metal as fuck. Frilly Fred, different composer than the last one. And you could tell it's a different composer. Adam, in his review, he actually named the group that's doing the music for this. I've never heard of them, but it's not the guy from the original two games, the first two games, you know, 2016 and Eternal. But it's still, you know, high T metal, you know, and industrial. It's like industrial metal. But since this game takes place in a quote unquote Dark Ages, they do throw in some medieval shit in there too. Some like instrumentation and all that, you know, some epic stuff too. So they're doing a really good job with this stuff, man. The soundtrack is great. You know, it really gets you amped up, you know, when you're like in the middle of battles and stuff. I could gush more about this game. It's fucking great. Definitely, like Rich said, Game of the Year contender will be in that conversation, for sure. All right, moving on. This is one of our favorite fans, a lovely British chap named Drunken Demon that Brian may or may not know. Now, this question is a little bit cheeky, if you will. How long before Nintendo decides to patent video games so they can sue everybody who made one? I mean, they're retroactively going back and changing shit, right, Chris? So who knows?
Yeah. I mean, they're actually trying it here. They applied for patents as well after the fact. Years, what are we talking, 25 years, almost 30 years since Pokemon came out?
Yeah.
And then now we're, what, a couple years into PAL World? They're going to file patents. They have to amend them because they're not going. They are literally spending hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to try to destroy Pocket. It's ridiculous. This reminds me of what they did to Galoob back with the Game Genie. They just took them to court. They just bled them dry. So this is, I think this is disgusting. It shouldn't be allowed. Like, the fact that Japan allowed this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how do you honor a retroactive patent lawsuit? It's insane.
Yeah, so obviously I don't think Nintendo could patent video games, but the spirit of the question stands, obviously, because Nintendo is just ridiculous.
It would be too similar to when, and I think I mentioned this like a couple of months ago, but remember when those YouTubers were trying to copyright Reaction?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So that's pretty much a kind of similar type of thing. So if the public doesn't get them out of that from just pure outrage, the rest of the gaming industry will, because they got deep pockets, and that would be something Nintendo wouldn't even be able to, you know, counteract.
Well, Carlos is right. They're punching down really with this one. Like, Pocket Pair is not nearly as big. Well, there's no way they would patent anything that would cross paths with Sony or Microsoft or another company that could literally not only tackle them in court, but bleed them dry.
Yeah, no, Nintendo's ridiculous. All right, another one from Mr. Drunken Demon. With all the anti-piracy measures Nintendo is taking with the Switch 2, can they actually win? What do you think about that, Chris?
Can win the case or win, like, what consoles? What do you mean by win here?
I guess win the case. You know, and I'm wondering, is he talking about just the PAL World thing, or that other measure? Because I know they're trying to do some other thing where they could, like, brick your console or some shit like that.
Yeah, so I think he's talking about that because I read about that.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Them admitting that was, like, crazy. I think I posted in the chat, and I don't think I said enough words to express how insane that statement was that if they see you using Switch Online, which basically means your console, in an inappropriate manner, basically anything they determine is inappropriate, they could reach out and brick your system.
It's insane. How fucking
crazy that is. And
I mean, didn't Xbox do?
No, Xbox did not do that. What they do is they banned you from Xbox Live, right? If you're playing online, they catch you cheating. They had a way to reach out and detect if you were using mods or you had modded your system, right? That would get you a ban on Xbox Live. It didn't brick the system. It didn't shut it down. You could keep playing. You just can't get online.
Yeah, that's a whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah, this is literally your system is dead, right? And secondly, that's a very stupid boast to make, because if any that means there's a kill switch in every Switch 2, right? How long till a hacker group figures out version of what software and kicks off a mass bricking of Switch 2s? I'm waiting for that one. I'm like, you have just opened the door for somebody to try to figure out A, how to access this kill switch, and B, on your peer-to-peer network, how to get it to damage as many systems as possible. You know a fucking catastrophe that would be?
Damn, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, Chris, I want to get your thoughts on this. I saw some Nintendo apologists online saying, oh, every console could do this. I'm like, I don't think so.
No console can do this.
I think they're conflating them banning your account with bricking your console. Those are two totally different things.
I don't understand how the meaning of words are lost. I know you're way up Nintendo's ass, but you have to understand what words mean. Brick, when a system's bricked, the term brick, you know what a brick is? It's a fucking piece of stone that can't do anything. That's what your system becomes. It becomes worthless. You might as well use it to patch up your wall. It's not the same thing as you not being able to access online. That means your system still works. You put a game in it and you can still play it. Can you play FIFA? Not with friends. Not if you're cheating. Not if you're using mods. Adam found this out. He can still play other games. He can play whatever he wants. You can't compare the two things. The other one, the Nintendo's option is your system is dead. If you turn it on, it does nothing. That's ridiculous.
That's insane. But again, sounds like something Nintendo would do, you know? Control. Oh, absolutely. It's control. It's all about control.
Yeah. Pin this this conversation. Pin this throwdown because I can't wait. If this kill switch exists, I cannot wait to see the exploit that comes out and then the catastrophe that will follow. I can't believe you put a kill switch in the Switch 2 and not expect somebody to dig for it and find it.
Yeah. And oh my God, could you imagine that? Like millions of consoles just suddenly bricked?
Yeah.
Nintendo would be sued into oblivion, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow. All right. So yeah, put a pin on this episode. The Writing Question episode 533, people. Right, man, you got anything to say about that?
No, I mean, I always
thought. No, it's different. Yeah, I think people are conflating it. Because again, I saw, you know, I'll tell you the name off air, Chris, obviously. I was talking to someone I know, and he was like, oh, man, I had to explain to these dumbasses, blah, blah, blah. Like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, they honestly believe that Nintendo could brick your console. I'm like, and I brought up the article. You mean this, where they say they can? He's like, no, that's wrong, because PlayStation's been able to do that since the PS3 era. I'm like, all right. Like, because I didn't want to argue. I'm like, all right, bro. But I'm like, it says it right there in the thing. It could brick your console. Yeah, that's different. That's different than shutting off your account. Okay.
No, I've on 360, I used to get blue rings all the time playing multiplayer. Yeah. You play Gears or whatever. Somebody said, oh, you're probably modding. You're probably cheating. You won the next match, right? All of a sudden, you see a blue light on your system. You get the blue ring, right? That means Microsoft is calling in system and checking for mods, right? I get the blue ring. It goes away, and I keep playing, right? Because I don't have any. That's all they could do. If they find out you mod, they kick you from Xbox. But your system's fine. No one could brick your system. There's no company out there that would risk doing that because of what I just said. Because you open the door for exploits. Like every system that has come out has gotten hacked, right? You will have somebody just fiending to get a pre-order, disassemble the system, decompile the operating system, and find the kill switch, right?
Yep.
That to me is like that. You just put out a challenge to the internet. Insane.
Nintendo, man. All right. A couple questions here for Mr. Mob Hits. What are some new things you want to see in GTA 6 that's never been seen in the franchise? And he gives some examples where we've seen the mini games, mechanics, customization. What brand new things would you like to see GTA bring to the table? I got one that's super far-fetched. You could enter every single building. Not going to happen, obviously, but it'd be kind of cool. Or maybe destructible environments, completely destructible. That's not going to happen either. But that would be kind of cool. And Brett's not here, but, NPCs that have different language, like different conversations with you.
I thought you were going to say voxels.
Voxels. That too, But yeah, those are the two main ones for me, like that are unrealistic. Destructible environments, fully destructible environments, and enter every single building. What's going on? Oh, stopping the podcast for a little bit. Hey, Rich. And you know what? Chris and Carlos, you'll enjoy this too. Reggie is about to start watching episode 7 of Invincible Season 3.
Oh, nice.
You already know, man. Have fun and then get ready for episode 8. So I'm going to say about that. I will say it'll conquer your interest, but yeah, anybody else have anything kind of cool wish list stuff you'd want to see in GTA 6?
I hope this time they vary up the weapon more. In GTA 5, while they had cool weapons, they were kind of grounded.
Yeah.
I want some ungrounded shit.
I want crazy stuff.
Give me the rail gun from Eraser, or give me laser weapon or something. I don't know. I want some more crazy shit there, because I feel like even though there's like an arsenal in GTA 5, they kept adding guns. They're all spins on the same thing. There's like 20 different shotguns and a minigun, but it's like, a better minigun or a bigger one. It's like, 50 different assault, guns, and they're not differentiated enough. And there's no like crazy stuff. There was a railgun, but I think you could only use it in a mission, in a single player mission.
Yeah, I remember that.
You couldn't buy the gun online, and I want crazier weapon.
You want to buy a railgun from Ammunition?
That's right.
What about you, Carlos? What were you gonna say?
Hey man, let's go crazy. Let's ride alligators.
Ride alligators. Hey, you never know, that could be in the game.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I do agree with Chris. The weapons, I dare say be a little bit more Saints Row-ish would be a lot better, because they do get kind of stale, and they're just iterations of each other. When you get another weapon, it's like, I wish I had a plasma cannon or something. I don't know. But the alligators is the only thing that came to mind. the stuff Tony mentioned is also something I think Tony's just mentioning, because this stuff that we've been sort of kind of asking for decades at this point. It's part of the bit, and it'll probably be part of that same thing for GTA 7 in 20 years.
Yeah. Rich, anything you want to see in GTA 6 that hasn't been done before in the franchise?
Yeah, that's a very tough question. I do agree new weapons would be cool. What I would like to see, though, I want to see how Rockstar evolves the wanted level system.
Ooh.
Because I don't really recall what they did in Grand Theft Auto 5, but I want to see how they are going to push that for this generation, for this game. Obviously, I know I've seen a lot of movies taking place in Miami, so on and so forth, a lot of high-speed chases, so I would assume some of that will be in this game, but I'm just curious to see how they can move that to another level so it's not more the same that we've gotten in.
By the way...
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're reacting to Rich, then go ahead, because it's a little bit deviating.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because usually they go for 5 stars, right? That's the highest one. Let's go to 6 stars, and they start using orbital space lasers, to try to get you.
which is not far fetched. That was in a mission, the Doomsday Bunker.
Yeah, man.
They had an orbital gun. You could. I mean, it was obscene. I think you had to pay like $80,000 to fire it.
Yep.
But you could just fire it. You find someone on the map and fire it. They're dead.
Oh man,
like, worth it.
Yeah. By the way, we will absolutely, you know, be streaming GTA 6 online when that comes online, man. That's gonna be bananas. If you guys remember our old GTA 5 streams, how crazy those were. Get ready, man. But yeah, Carlos, go ahead. What were we gonna say to deviate the show?
two things to deviate. One is a little deviation. Usually. The next one is a little bit more of a deviate. Number one, it's gonna be a complete miss if they don't do the Flock of Seagulls song on this.
Oh, they have to.
And number two, how do you guys feel if they change this, going back to the topics that, you know, GTA always gets? One of them is the shooting mechanics. It's always a criticism of the franchise for a certain amount, but obviously it's not hurting them in any way. But how would you guys feel if they changed the shooting mechanics to be more sort of competent, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, because like they still have lock-on as like standard, and like even if you try to take it off, it feels weird. So you're kind of forced to use lock on because like the regular mechanics aren't good. So yeah, it would be nice if like keep the lock on in there for the normies, right? But like, can you have like a free aiming one that doesn't suck? Like that would be good, you know? So I agree with you on that one. If that's what you're asking, it's like, yeah, can we have better modern shooting mechanics, you know, please? Yeah. Anybody else want to jump in on that? The shooting mechanics?
No, I agree with that. I agree with that. They're a little clunky, so I mean, hopefully they smooth that.
Yeah, just, you know, look, play Gears of War Uncharted. Make it like that, you know. Make it like, oh, yeah. Butter. Go ahead.
That'd be great.
Quick question for you guys: did they ever have a first person mode for the shooting? I thought for some reason they did have.
They did in GTA 4? The GTA 5. Yeah. They added it after the fact. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't remember that being very good either, because it was still lock on.
Yeah,
you know?
It wasn't good. Yeah.
Yeah, they need to get rid of that. Come on, guys. All right. Another one from Mob Hits. Why aren't people praising Game Pass right now for having two major highly reviewed games available effectively for free, Expedition 33 and upcoming Doom of Dark Ages? Because you could buy these games on other platforms.
You can buy last these week, games on other platforms.
Go back to last week's episode of Throwdown when I praised them and I said, I was like, oh, damn, like, this is a great time to have Game Pass.
Yeah, well, there you go. Carlos is praising them. And that's all the praise you need.
And Carlos reactivated his Game Pass account.
I did. It's more expensive now.
Damn.
I couldn't find any of this of the 3 month things, that trials that they used to sell. Yeah, it looks like I don't sell those anymore.
They're probably getting rid of those. Oh, yeah. Especially since that price hike is coming.
I have the answer for that question.
Uh-oh.
Xbox tax, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. This is why. Because, listen, there's a lot of games that have been to Game Pass, and I know that they mentioned Expedition 33. You mentioned Doom. Both reviewed well. There's another game called Blueprints, a game that is going to be nominated for a lot of awards. That's another indie title. And then you have South of Midnight. You know, and that game obviously is not for everybody, but all of this stuff was coming to Game Pass in April. You have Doom this month, and there's going to be more stuff coming that I'm sure Microsoft will announce at their showcase next month. So, yeah, but nobody cares, because Microsoft doesn't care either, because they are not really trying to push the console like that now. They're focused on everything as an Xbox, except for your Xbox. And Game Pass is everywhere, so we don't really need to tell you too much. But hey, we'll see what happens.
You know what's funny, Rich? Literally, when I read this question, that was actually my very first answer. I was like, Xbox, Xbox tax. Because it is true. It's no one cares, you know?
Yeah.
But my second question, you know, answer was like, you could buy. Listen, Rich, I'm pretty sure those 2 million people aren't part of Game Pass, you know?
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
And like Rich mentioned, objectively, this has been a great year for Game Pass. Like,
yeah.
You mentioned South of Midnight, Expedition 33, Doom, The Dark Ages. Also, Avowed came out this year. What's it called? Indiana Jones came out like right before the start of the year, or you know, before the year started. So the last 5-6 months have been crazy for Game Pass. So if anybody is interested in any of those games, right now is the best time to get it.
Wait, Carlos, yeah. Would you say Game Pass is the best deal in gaming?
It might be. I mean, if the prices are going back to $90, it might be. Yeah, man. Yo, man, I finished. I don't know if there's a question about Expedition 33.
This one's tied to it. So yeah, I say yes.
Yo, man, all I gotta say is it's one of the best games I've played in the last couple of years.
Excuse me.
It totally lives up to the hype. It does so many things like really great. The story is, you know how critical I am about video game stories. They're always shit. This is a great story. I'm like, damn. It made me think.
Oh wow.
It's great, man. And the combat, it's souls like type of. Uh-oh.
What are you, a game journalist?
Yo, man, I gotta do something. They really knocked it out of the park, man. I love this game. I texted you guys. It's gonna be hard to try to beat this for game of the year.
Wow.
Go ahead, Rich.
Well, let me say this, Carlos. I thank you for saying all of these things because I need to get back to that. Obviously, I've been playing another game I can't even talk about yet. Uh-oh. But I do need to get back to that as soon as possible. I do. Yeah, that's great to hear that. I was going to make one other quick comment, though, related to this question here. And that is that nobody is talking about Game Pass now. But when Microsoft has another dry spell of games coming, nothing coming to Game Pass, then they're going to be talking about where the hell are the games at. So just make sure you guys remember this, because I'm telling you, when Microsoft doesn't have nothing coming out this fall, if they have nothing coming out, everybody will be saying, well, where are the games at? What the hell is the Xbox have? Nothing. So just remember this.
All right, put a pin on. We're putting a lot of pins in this episode.
It's a pretty hefty pin board.
Right? That's it. Yeah, the accountability episode. Oh, man. Good stuff. GZDR, haven't seen any of your questions for a while, my friend. Glad to have you back. So first one here. Everyone is saying Sony will raise its console prices now that Microsoft has. Should Sony either raise the price or discontinue the PS5 standard and only sell PS5 Pros? It would still make the console a lower price than a Series X. That's actually incorrect. The Xbox Series X would cost $499 or $599, I believe, which is still $100 cheaper than the PS5 Pro. So, no, I think that would be a bad idea. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens, because if you guys have seen the news lately, specifically today, they said that China and America have come to some sort of deal. They're going to announce it tomorrow. So if things are well, maybe these prices will go down to normal, you know, because we've been telling people this whole tariff stuff isn't fixed in stone. It's very malleable, changes all the time. You know, just because Xbox said it's going to raise the prices doesn't mean that it's going to keep those high prices up there, depending on how things go. You know, it could go either way, maybe go up even further. But, you know, hopefully we get good news tomorrow and a lot of this craziness starts to subside. So I think Sony's in a good position right now. Wait it out, bruh. Wait it out. You know, don't raise prices on nothing. Just chill for a little bit. But just having the PS5 Pro as the only available PlayStation would be a terrible idea. Absolutely don't do that, you know. But yeah, GZR, I don't know where you got that thing that the Xbox Series X will now cost as much as a Pro. No, it won't. Not even close, bro.
He's probably to that price hike.
I am talking about the price hike. Yeah. I'm taking that into account. The Xbox Series X will now cost $599. The PS5 Pro is $699. Yeah.
He's not taking into account that essentially the PlayStation Pro is a $700 console.
Exactly. So yeah, don't discontinue it and just wait to see what happens with the tariffs. That's what I say Sony should do. That'd be bad. Don't raise prices. Anybody have any thoughts on that? All right, take that as a no. This one's a kind of fun question. Besides the Warzone, what past podcast or legacy podcast from SDFU and Play or the Coalition Would the panel like to see revived? For me, I would like to see spoiler cast returned. No, it's a good one. What about Otanime? You want that back? I know Carlos wants that one back.
You already know. It's the manga god.
What's up? That's the problem. You know, that's why we had to quit it. And that's also the reason we stopped doing spoiler cast, because not everybody's watching movies. Although I would like to say that if I ever... Like, the Invincible podcast are basically the spiritual successor of Spoiler Cast, because it's me and most of the Throwdown guys, you know? Or pretty much all the Throwdown guys, now that Rich is a member of the Throwdown, that's like pretty much the Throwdown guys, you know? But speaking about Rich, I missed the co-op podcast, one of my favorite podcasts, so I'm glad part of it lives on with you being on Throwdown. Even though this was a one-off, the Good, the Bad, and the Buggy, that episode you did with Gary on Cyberpunk, it's a legend, as Reggie well knows. And, you know, go ahead, Rich.
Well, I have a comment to make, but no, continue first. Yeah.
I was going to say, bring back the Fan Zone. There you go. You know, get Jag on. Yeah, Jag on. He likes to play with dragons. yeah, because my original answer would have been the Warzone, but that's back. Warzone's back. But yeah. The co-op podcast, even though we got Rich here, bring that back, and bring back the Minority Report. I don't know if those guys will ever reunite, though. That'd be kind of funny. Mike A. and Dirty Bird and Charlie Kun and Venomous Fat Man, you know?
Uh-oh. What about Knights of the Turntable?
Oh, Charles Singletary. There you go. Bring that back. Oh, man. Rich, what was the comment you had?
Yeah, I was going to say, I definitely love Knights of the Turntable. I know Charles, understand, they're doing another podcast now. They're talking about movies. I don't know if they've really been promoting it as much, but they do a show where they talk about some.
Nice.
So as for the co-op, yeah, I would like to see the co-op return in the future. But, you know, the whole reason that the co-op stopped is because everybody got older, had other opportunities that presented themselves. And they, you know, this is what happens in life. That's why I'm glad to see the Throwdown is still around. You know, we're all still here, so that's great. But yeah, with just the co-op, there were a lot of changes in terms of people moving on to do some other things, which I thought is great. A lot of people have had some good career success from working at the Coalition. We always support that 1,000%. So, but yeah, the Good, the Bag, and the Buggy is not over, though. I do want to make that clear. That's not over. That will return. The reason why it didn't return is because, you know, I know Gary has been playing Assassin's Creed. I have not gone back to Assassin's Creed Shadows because I've been busy on a lot of other things. But I'm saying don't be surprised if you don't see another episode of that coming. Because, yeah, we did enjoy doing that show. We want to do more of those type of discussions in the future if we're going to do stuff. So, I'm just saying stay tuned. There will be some stuff coming.
That's what's up. What about you, Carlos? Any legacy podcasts from SCF Film Play and The Coalition you want to see return?
Manny brought up the one that I was going to mention, Knights of the Turntable. That's a podcast I would always listen to. That was really good. The co-op podcast as well. Used to listen to Rich and Gary always bring up their knowledge about the industry, and you know, and Gary always bringing up that he's playing Overwatch.
Overwatch. Shout out to Gary.
The Fan Zone, I don't think that'll ever come back, just for the simple fact that Jagon has disappeared from the end of the earth. I don't know where the hell he is.
He quit the industry.
Yeah, I think he quit more than that.
Oh, damn.
he's been absent from social media and everything, so who knows what he's doing. Probably counting his money.
You know.
But, but shout out to QL, shout out to Jagon, shout out to what's his name?
Not Damien.
Damien.
Damien. Oh man, you Golden know. Crust, let's go.
But
Jamaica, but Queens, yeah. You already know. Oh man, good stuff. All right. Oh, we have a kind of Rich kind of alluded to people going their own way. We have a question related to that. That'll be the final one here. But yeah, the last couple of questions here are sponsored by a very generous guy, a big fan of Throwdown. So big of a fan, he's been, you know, a fan of Throwdown since day one, Mr. Romudeth. All right, a sponsored question here from Mr. Dio. If there are any launch parties for GTA 6, will you attend? I'm guessing midnight launches. Hell no. Ironically enough, the last midnight launch I did was GTA 5. Me, Manny and I went there to record people getting their reactions about the game. We did that for SDFU and Blay. That was the last time. Last time I did a midnight launch. I got a job now, bro. I got to get up in the morning and shit. You know, I can't be doing that. And I don't get games physical. So there's no real point. He says he is, though. Dio says he's going to attend it. So good on you, you know. I'm going to assume everybody else on the panel is like, nah, I'm good.
Well, one comment to make about that. Midnight launch, no chance in hell. But if there is a launch event that is happening, yeah, I would definitely go to that. Because I did go to a launch event for Final Fantasy 16 when I was in L.A. for Summer Game Fest. That was fantastic. That was great. Even though I'm not even into Final Fantasy like that, it was great to go to that event, see all the stuff happening. So, yeah, if they ever have that. But Rockstar probably won't be doing that because they spent so much money making this game. They just want to get it out to everybody, keep it as simple as possible. But hey, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but I agree with that. If there's a launch industry party, yeah, obviously I'm going to that shit. But just like a random GameStop for midnight launch, I'm good. All right, and the last question, another sponsor one. This one comes to us originally from GZDR. The panel was, this one's kind of deep too, so it's going to be interesting. The panel was once asked if there was an episode number they had in mind where they would end Throwdown. The answer was no. My current question is there an age that the panel has in mind where they would quit? Could you see yourselves doing the show at 60 with dentures?
I would hope everybody taking good care of their
teeth. You know?
Yeah, I hope this stuff
happens. Yeah, brush your teeth, man. Yeah. You know? You might be disappointed with our answer because you said we didn't answer before, and we kind of are probably not going to answer again. We don't have a number for this stuff, man. You know? No.
I mean, to be honest, like, this is probably, like, with the exception of, you know, it's pretty easy to do our show.
Yeah.
I mean, we're literally just talking there, so there's not that much to it. I mean, other than, you know, the biggest, you know, Hall would probably be on Tony's,
like,
you know, doing the editing and all that sort of stuff. Even that is not as, you know, crazy as it could be. So, I mean, again, you know, I think what Tony would probably agree to is, as long as we feel like doing it.
Yep. That's the answer. We'll keep doing this until we don't feel like doing it anymore. That's pretty much it. Like,
and it doesn't,
like, yeah,
and
like there, it doesn't, and it, yeah. Yeah. No, I was going to say there will obviously be a final episode of Throwdown. And when that happens, we will not only give you ample time to know, we're going to do a lead up to it, you know, but we're going to have to feel that it's right. And I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. Because like Manny said, it's kind of autopilot for us. It's not that difficult. I do have to do a little bit more, but that's autopilot too. Gather some news stories, gather some questions, fire up the OBS, hope it doesn't do any bullshit on me, and I'm good, you know? And in my case, I'm like, I don't have a wife or kids to worry about. I just do this show whenever, you know? Mm-hmm. So, there will be a time when the Throwdown ends, but that ain't happening anytime soon, and we're not putting any numbers on it. So, sorry about that. I know he tried to get us to answer the question a different way, Manny, but he didn't succeed. The same answer stays still. We do this until we don't want to do it anymore. Simple as that.
Ironically enough, Adam has wife and kids.
He's still doing it.
And he's going strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going harder than all of us on this one.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, because I did, you know, I've thought about that. I'm like, yo, am I still going to be doing a gaming podcast when I'm 50? Like, that's kind of crazy. But then again, look at Adam. He's pushing 50, and he's going to be doing that fucking TV terminal for another 10 years, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens, obviously, because one day I'm going to be like, fuck this shit. We're done, you know? But you don't have to worry about that anytime soon. And you guys got to be fucking grateful that I found, you know, my renewed love of fighting games, because I was like, that was the first time like in a while, bro, before that, where I was just like, I gotta do Throwdown. I never felt that way. You know why I felt that way? Because it was like, here I go, I gotta go on Throwdown, complain about some industry bullshit again. Oh, who's buying who this time? What drama's happening? You know, oh, I gotta get on online and complain about fucking degeneration. So I'm glad I found that kernel of something. But games are getting a little bit better too. You know, we got Doom Eternal, we got Expedition 33, you know, so. You know, when things look darkest, light comes, you know. But yeah,
we got some Indiana Jones.
We got Indiana Jones. We got some good games. So yeah, but yeah, we're not putting an expiration date on this shit. We keep going until we don't feel like doing it anymore. You know, simple as that. And thankfully, all of us are still together, which is good. Because like Rich said, you know, a lot of podcasts don't last because, you know, people got to do their own stuff, you know. But yeah,
to be quite frank, a lot of podcasts don't last because they don't get along with each other.
That's also true. You know, we all get along together because we're just boys, even outside of this. You know, every new member I bring on, it's like, oh, that's one of the homies. Bring them on. That's as simple as that. It's one of the homies. You know.
Yeah, and Throwdown, the only ones we got to worry about is Rich and Brian. Like, that
feels like attention. Oh man, I don't know about that Brian guy.
Well, you know. Here's the thing. You got to give it to Brian. At the commitment that he does every single time we do these shows, you realize what time he is on.
Yeah, Brian is the truth. It's like 1 a.m. Yeah. for him, you know?
No, it's not even 1 a.m. It's like 6. It's in the morning. It's tomorrow.
No, it is. It's way early. It is. Because we start at 10:30. They're 5 hours ahead. So it's like 4:30, 3:30 around that time. I'm a writer. I'm not a mathematician, so don't quote me on that. But it's early.
It depends on daylight savings
time. Yeah, you know, I probably got one of those right somewhere. All right, man. Good stuff. We're done. Another one in the books here. Let's plug some stuff, Manny. What you got?
Well, what I got? G.I. Joe issued the famous. It's called the Silent Interlude. Silent issue of G.I. Joe, classic G.I. Joe, the special edition that you can find on Skybound, which has a cover by Kari Randolph and myself.
Nice.
So we did a really cool cover, and there's two versions without the with the cover dressing, the title, and without full cover. So. Obviously, also, you know, Skybound, my lovely friends at Skybound, a lot of issues. So there may or may not be a couple of them that might find their way to you. But if you don't want to wait for that, pick them up right now at Skybound, the Skybound, as well as usual. If you are a Teenage Mutant Turtles, Kari Randolph and I are all over that stuff. So right now, we have a four cover series, as you say, it should be Michael this month. As well as, which is still around now, is Naruto Ninja Turtles, which has a massive cover, which is incredibly rare and probably very expensively. And then, you know, a bunch of other things that are coming along the line. Oh, and also the Power DC Comics with Kari, myself, and a whole list of the comic getting a double-sized issue starring all, you know, starring Duke from We Are Robin, and I Am Batman, and Nubia, and a bunch of others. So yeah, that's all out on the store shelves right now. Yeah, enjoy.
Good stuff. All right, Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week?
Yeah, so we are going to be having a couple of different reviews and previews. Yes, one of Tony's, I want to say one of his... top games of the year, Capcom Fighting Collection.
Ah,
right?
yes. That's actually factual.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Yes, really, Brian. That's correct. Yeah, I will be doing a review for the second part of that collection because that will be coming out later this week. So stay tuned for that. I am also reviewing another game that I can't really say anything about, and that review will not be out until the following weeks. We'll talk about that in the future. As for other stuff, myself, Adam Vale, and Carlos Romero, we did review the latest episode of The Walking Dead, Dead City, on the I Am Negan podcast that is currently on the YouTube channel and on the website right now. Myself, Dana, and Gary will be reviewing the season finale of Power this upcoming week on Friday as well. And in between that, like I said, there'll be a lot of gaming stuff to look for on the website, so stay tuned.
All right, good stuff. And a couple of things for... A Throwdown on Thursday. Chris will be doing the Nintendo financials for you guys. So we're going to get graphs and all that good stuff. So stay tuned for that. Then also, I'm not trying to shame anyone, but I'm slightly ashamed that nobody asked me about Virtua Fighter. So I'm going to talk about Virtua Fighter on Thursday. Lots of stuff to get into. And I want to give you some thoughts on Evo. This was the first like Evo I actually saw. And it was pretty fucking good. So I'll give you my thoughts on Evo and Virtua Fighter and Ganondorf in Virtua Fighter. it's Wolf. It made Wolf like a fucking Ganondorf. It's very interesting. And he's a heel now, as the developers explained. So that's kind of cool. So yeah, we'll get into that on Thursday. Give you more thoughts on the Capcom Fighting Collection, because I have been playing that and enjoying it. And I could finally tell you about the two other games on there, which is very interesting how they did things. Like, you could talk about six games, but not eight. I'm like, what? You should have just made the embargo 2 weeks ago. Let's just talk about the whole thing. But anyway, but the game's dropping this week, you know, May 16th. So you're gonna have a lot. You have two good games to pick up this week. Doom, The Dark Ages on the 15th, Manny's birthday, and then on the 16th, you know, so good. Yeah, games, man. Video games.
Celebrate my birthday right and buy them both.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, especially buy the Capcom Fight Collection, because has Manny's beloved Power Stone on it, you know, and Project Justice.
Project Justice.
You know, games that you give a big thumbs up to.
I mean, I played Rival Schools. I loved it. Well, yeah, that was what it's called here.
Yeah, because remember, I mean, we could get more into it on the Thursday show, but yeah, it's like they couldn't have Rival Schools or the because they have whatchamacallit in this Plasma Sword, the original one. They don't have on this one either, because they were not Naomi games, you know, so it'd be a little bit more difficult to port, but hopefully they can make it happen, you know. So yeah, we're done, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, subscribe on the YouTubes, join the Discord, and follow us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
All right, guys. See you later.